Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Hi there, everybody. Welcome in on a Tuesday here in New York City. Evan and Tiki on The Fan. A lot to get to today. How Jeff Ulbrich is making things worse for the New York Jets. The Juan Soto sweepstakes are coming into focus on who has met Yankee fans you have to watch out for. And we will play the good coach game to determine if Brian Daboll has any future with the New York Football Giants. But in about an hour, Joe Shane, for the first time since training camp, is going to use words into a microphone. And we, as football fans and as Giant fans, are going to get to hear what this man has to say. He is the architect of a football team that right now is 2-8. A football team that is tied for the worst record in the NFL and may well have the number one pick. And I think Joe Shane is in a very, 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 very tough spot. Because when he meets the media at 3 o'clock, something you will hear live right here on WFAN, you'll get to hear what Joe has to say. What could he possibly say to Tiki Barber or Sean Morash or any other Giant fan to make them feel better about the garbage we're watching every Sunday?
It's going to be hard, I got to tell you. Because, I mean, you're 2-8 right now. And not that there was an expectation like with the Jets this year for the New York Giants, but there was an expectation that you would win more games than you're losing. And you'd be, you wouldn't feel inept at certain moments. And Daniel Jones would be more like the 2022 Daniel Jones and the 2023 Daniel Jones, and that the offensive line wouldn't be an issue any longer, that these young players that you drafted would be ballers and not taking days or plays off. Like, you thought all of these things were going to be trending towards, success. Mm. And it's just not. And even if there are signs, because there are signs, and I'll always go back to Tyrone Tracy because nobody thought that he would be this player being drafted as late as he was, and as a running back who converted from wide receiver, he's a really good player. So there's some good players on this team, but the overall scope of the New York Giants is not a positive one, and Joe Shane's going to be put to the task on it.
Yeah, to me, there is only one thing in the short term that's going to make Giant fans happy. Only one thing. Because you can't change the results.
No.
You can't change 2-8, and you can't change what we've watched. So the only thing he could say is, hey, everybody, we're done with Daniel Jones. That's it. And I don't necessarily...
He won't say it that callously.
Well, he may not say it that callously, and he may not even say it at all. But I honestly think that that is the thing in the moment on November 12th. That's the only thing that right now is going to make the Giant fan say, oh, okay, I feel better moving forward. And it's not a quick fix. It doesn't mean Tommy DeVito or Drew Lock comes in and they win every game and they go on this fantastic run. But I think the Giant fan has seen enough.
Yeah, but I think that doesn't get said today. I know it will be asked 15 different ways,
yes,
by the beat reporters that are at this conference or press conference, because I think this is live.
It
is,
yes.
It's live. It's in person. It's not over Zoom. We're taking it via the Giants website and YouTube. And so people are going to be there to look at Joe Shane and ask these questions, mm-hmm, and ask him how many times to Sunday, what are you doing with Daniel Jones? Or what's the plan with Daniel Jones? But I think that's going to be reserved for Dabes. to give that response, give that answer.
You're right,
and
that
it
Dave's
probably won't happen until a week from now.
So Dave's is the one who will officially say it because he's the head coach. He's going to announce who's starting. But Joe Shane is responsible for keeping Daniel Jones. Mm-hmm. He's responsible for deciding to extend Daniel Jones. He's the one who decided, you know what? I saw enough in that 1 year with him where I want to get remarried to Daniel Jones. And I think, to me, you tell me if I'm wrong, Sean, as a Giant fan, to me, that's the number one thing on the Giant fans' minds in this moment.
Yeah, there is a...
Kill them all for good!
But there is a debatable narrative going around, you know, Giants fans and media, which is, by signing Daniel Jones to this contract, Joe Shane did pick his quarterback, and that maybe he doesn't deserve the right to pick a quarterback. So by giving him this contract, I think it's fair to ask. And by the way, he was very candid on Hard Knocks with those live microphones, right? What do we hear specifically about the Barkley stuff, right? I'm not paying a quarterback $40 million right to hand it off to a $20 million running back. So I think the question needs to be asked, do you feel like you've got your money's worth out of Daniel Jones? And I don't think there's anything prohibiting.
Well, by the way, that's a loaded question because you can't say yes. He's been
awful
since the extension.
Well, I actually think that's an easy question, John, because you say no.
Well, clearly.
Right. Because he missed an entire season, or most of an entire season, and they've won two games so far. So the answer, if that question is asked, is easily no, we haven't.
Right.
But it's not all Daniel Jones' fault.
Right, and there's a way to answer it without throwing him completely under the bus, but saying, hey, he has not lived up to the expectations. We gave him the money. We feel like we've surrounded him with parts. Now, maybe I haven't done a good enough job of completing that.
Right.
But ultimately, this is not what we expected when we signed Daniel Jones. And I think, by the way, the fan base lays up and goes, I have a GM that's not clueless. Now,
the last thing you can do is lie about that. The last thing you can do is make it sound like it's better than it actually is. Because we see it with our own eyes.
Right.
Like, we can evaluate it with our own, rewinds of games or even just opinions from those that know what they're talking about, even those that don't know what they're talking about. Daniel Jones hasn't been good, right? And the Giants are 2-8 because of it. So you can't say that you've got your money's worth. So I think in this case, being honest about it, even if it does hurt the feelings of your starting quarterback, current starting quarterback, is worth it.
Well, I don't even think it's about hurting Daniel Jones's feelings. I think it's about owning your mistake because you are the general manager that decided to remarry him. You're the general manager that decided to extend him.
See, the problem is I can't go back to that because they had no choice. They didn't have a choice. They had a really good season out of Daniel Jones. We've talked about this many times. They were way too low to move up in the draft, especially because they didn't have partners that were going to trade with them. And there was no free agent that was better than Daniel Jones on paper.
Right.
And so they were stuck. It sucks for them because clearly they didn't want to have to go all in for Daniel Jones for 4 years. In fact, they didn't. They went in for two out of a 4-year contract, but they didn't have good options.
Yeah,
and so the best option, and I could go back and look at this 1,000 times, I would still say the best option in that moment was Daniel Jones.
Well, here's the other thing that I also think is very, very important, okay? Because over the last few weeks, the narrative from angry Giant fans has been not only to blame Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, but blame ownership.
Yes.
And say this is ownership's fault. Well, here's an important question for Joe Shane, and I'll give you my opinion and certainly your opinion on this. And that is, hey, Joe, when you made the decision to remarry Daniel Jones, you talked about the other options, was that forced upon you from ownership?
Yeah.
Because all the evidence is there that that's not what happened.
No, it's not.
So when I kill ownership, like I use Woody Johnson as an example. I'm mad at Woody Johnson. And I'll tell you the main reason why I'm mad at Woody Johnson.
Because he fired his coach without consulting anybody?
Correct. Thank you, Tegan. I'm mad at Woody Johnson because the owner, while he has every right to do it, you own the team, it's your toy. You have every right to do it, stepped on his GM's toes and said, I'm firing the head coach. I have a problem with that. There is a narrative that I'm not fully buying, mainly because there's just not evidence to back it up, that John Mara forced Daniel Jones on Joe Shane.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, A, it's not backed up in any fact, and B, what you're doing, if you don't even realize it, is you're making excuses for Joe Shane.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
There's no way. And tell me if I'm crazy here. When John Mara decided to break away from the family and hire someone outside of the Giant organization, and they interviewed Joe Shane, very highly regarded out of Buffalo. And they interviewed Brian Daboll, but first it was Shane, technically. Do you think, let's just use logic here, do you think Joe Shane was leaving Buffalo to take a job where he's being told by the owner to keep the mediocre quarterback? No way.
No chance.
I don't buy it. What happened was Joe Shane took over, evaluated, and said, look, let me just play this schlump for a year. He's going to probably suck. And we'll move on. I'll draft my own quarterback, and that's it. And then
Messed around and had a good 2022.
They had a great 2022. Now the circumstances were, well, he had a good year. Right. Do we let him go? Do we tag him? So I think what needs to be addressed, because there's still a lot of Giant fans who feel this way, and I think I'm an IFO in this. I mean, you have a relationship with him, so I could see you being like, hey, I know more, and maybe you do. I don't see any evidence that John Mara is woodying the situation.
Well, I think we've seen the evidence just from the Hard Knocks stuff where he has an opinion. Right? The whole family has an opinion because they're all involved in some capacity, whether it's Chris or Susan or whoever. They're all involved. But he lets Joe Shane do his job.
Because he lets Saquon Barkley go to Philadelphia.
And he said, I'm going to not sleep well if Saquon Barkley's in a green uniform. Guess what? He's not sleeping well. But he let Joe Shane make that decision. So I got to believe it's been that way for the Daniel Jones decision as well. The other thing I think we're forgetting about Daniel Jones, or maybe the other thing that maybe Joe Shane could have done, is have been really callous with him. And so, yes, Daniel Jones, you had a great season in 2022. You got us to a playoff game. You won a playoff game in Minnesota on the road. We want to reward you, but we still need to see it. We're going to Kirk Cousins you.
Yeah.
We're going to franchise you.
That was the best option.
And we're going to franchise you again.
Yes.
And we're going to franchise you again.
Yes.
And so that would have been the way to handle it.
Because then you could have moved on after one bad year instead of being married to another year.
What does Daniel Jones have?
No, I get
you. None at that point.
I completely get it. What boggles my mind, and Shane's going to be asked about this, because Brian Daboll was asked about it 2 days ago. He was asked, when you make a quarterback change, do you have to run it by ownership? Now, I'll be with you on this. If ownership is overriding a quarterback, and forget Eli, because that's a different situation. So the Eli Manning-Ben McAdoo thing, I throw away, because I think that's different when you're talking
about... And I also think it was Eli.
Well, it was also, it's just a different circumstance when you're dealing with a Hall of Fame quarterback and there's bedside manner
right. In
when you bench him. I think it's different than benching Daniel Jones.
I think we need, if you're going to bring that up, you have to realize what actually happened.
What actually happened?
They wanted to get some looks to Geno Smith.
Right.
And Eli said, if you're going to play him, just start him.
Right.
Right? Don't do that to me. And so basically Eli said, I'm going to bench myself because I'm not letting you disrespect me.
I don't want to be sat in like the third quarter of a game.
Right. Because that's BS.
Right. Because he had that streak.
Exactly. He had that streak. So you're going to just start me so I can keep my streak? You know what? Screw you. That's basically what happened.
No, it makes sense. Because it makes your streak kind of look hollow when you're just playing to keep a streak alive.
Right. We remember we had Geno a couple weeks ago. We had the Giants-Seattle game.
Right.
And we asked Geno about that moment. He said Eli was the one that actually told me.
Wow.
So it's kind of crazy.
Yeah. But I don't think, like, in that
it wasn't as strifeful as it was made out to be the inside.
But if you're benching, and I get it, it went kind of the opposite way in that they didn't bench Eli. Mm-hmm. Eli benched himself. I understand going to ownership and asking permission if it got to that. Because it's Eli Manning. It's different.
Right.
If you're telling me that the owner is saying I need to approve every move, such as who's playing and who's not playing, then I would agree with you and say that's a little too much. I don't want my owner doing that. No. Owner has a right to do it. I wouldn't like it. But I don't see.
Yeah, only Jerry does that.
And by the way, we would hate it. We wouldn't like something like that. So I think it should be up to Brian Daboll on who the quarterback is, but I don't see any evidence other than Giant fans kind of saying it as fan fiction that this owner is literally interfering with what they do day to day.
I agree. I've heard it for years, and it's nonsense because that's not what he does. It's not his personality.
Now, he offers his opinion, and I'll tell you this, and this is a dangerous slope. I'll admit this watching Hard Knocks. It is dangerous. It's like a president, right? A president basically says to somebody who works in their administration, you know, nudging them, I really want you to do this. Mm-hmm. I really want you to do this. I really want you to do this. It's almost like they're telling you to do something without telling you to do something. So I understand if the owner, your boss, it's like the architect coming in here and nudging us and saying, you know, opening with the Mets would be a pretty good idea. You know, the Mets, let's talk Mets today at 2:05. It's like a nudge from the boss. Now, ultimately, you make your own decision. So I can see being pressured to make a move because the owner is telling you, boy, I wouldn't be able to sleep at night if I lost Saquon. So I can see that, but they didn't keep Saquon.
I know.
So obviously, if you thought there was pressure being applied, it didn't work. The GM didn't listen. So to me, this mess that the Giants are in is on Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. And the only thing that John Mara deserves criticism for, if you're mad at Shane and Daboll, is hiring Shane and Daboll.
Right.
Because to me, it appears like they've been given all the tools and authority to do what they want. If they turn out not to be the right guys, then okay, you hired the wrong guy.
Right.
But I don't see evidence that Daniel needs to stay. Daniel needs to be extended.
The meddling isn't there.
I don't see any evidence of it.
But people want to say it just because it's the easy, lazy way to evaluate an organization. By starting at the top and then blaming everybody all the way down. That's what people do, even though that's not actually how it works. And so it's unfair to John and to the Tisch family because they're not involved in that regard, right? They're owners. They understand the outcome and they understand the fan frustration because guess what? You ask him this question when we sat down with him at the beginning of the season. He's a fan like you are.
Right.
He gets his, not you with the Jets. You with the Jets.
No, as a
Giants.
Fan, I get
he's
you.
He's a fan. Like he wants the success. Not like he's trying to have a horrible product on the field. He wants it to be successful.
Look,
but he also knows that he hires people to do that job.
And that's where the criticism is fair.
Yes.
On who you hire. Like, if you hire somebody, you give them full authority. Like, I'll give you a Nick example, because Dolan takes so much crap. It's my understanding that Dolan has been meddling in the past, but he hired Phil Jackson and said, Phil, it's your show.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm using Phil for a reason, because it didn't work, right? Hires Phil, this is your show. Don't we all believe Phil Jackson had the full authority to do whatever the hell he wanted?
Yeah.
And so that was on Phil. Where you can blame Dolan was, you hired the wrong person.
Right, you hired a guy who wasn't fully bought in.
Yes.
He was half the time flying back out to California to see his girlfriend.
Yeah, right.
Then they broke up, and then he got despondent and started smoking weed and said, I'm done.
Yeah, it's a little different than the Giants situation. But that's where the criticism is fair. If this fails and Shane and Daboll are gone at the end of the season or the end of next season, yes, it falls on the Mara and Tisch family for hiring the wrong person, no doubt. But I don't see any evidence, and I'm open to evidence. I really am. I don't see any evidence that Shane and Daboll are being affected or pressured on these decisions. These are their decisions. They have to own these decisions. The Daniel Jones thing, Teak, you laid it out, was complicated. I admit it, because of the fact they inherited him in a draft in which, remember what Joe Shane did in his first draft? You guys remember? Drafted Evan Neal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what he did?
Yep.
Is it Evan Neal? What was the first quarterback taken in that draft in case Joe Shane wanted to right away say, I want to bring in my own quarterback? Does anybody remember? Do you remember, Sean?
I don't remember. Evan Neal wasn't his first pick either.
I apologize. What year was Evan Neal? 2023?
Yeah, but Kayvon Thibodeaux was his first pick.
Okay, so 2020. Right, so you're just playing a technicality with it.
Yes, I'm just saying.
He was also a first rounder. But
yes.
That was his first pick. Right. That was his first draft in 2022, correct? Okay?
Yes. Oh, I know.
What was the first? So if for anyone who said, hey, he has a chance to just pick his own quarterback, it's his first draft, and he's got two high picks. Go ahead, Sean.
Kenny Pickett?
Correct, Kenny Pickett.
Yes, I got it right.
So here's the moral
that
of the story.
That was one of those rare drafts where there was not a quarterback worth taking.
Correct. Malik Willis was the other big one, right?
Malik Willis. Actually, he's a pretty good backup.
So the reason why.
Won some games in Green Bay.
The reason why Daniel Jones lasted into the Shane and Daboll administration, again, I'm just following the evidence here, is not a pressure campaign from the owner who says you better employ him. It's because Kenny Pickett was the best quarterback option. If he had inherited the Giants in a different year, in a different draft, you can mark my words, Daniel Jones's ass would have been on a train somewhere else.
Right.
He wasn't having to stay. It's the situation sucked.
You know what? I actually come up with a good question here for Joe Shane at his press conference today. Do you regret doing Hard Knocks? Because I think the Giants come off awful on that show.
Can I tell you why I disagree with you?
Okay.
What I've said to you as we've discussed the Joe Shane thing and the John Mara thing, I believe that little story of Saquon and Mara's comments and the actions help me, or at least tell me, that John isn't interfering with day-to-day.
I agree.
If that didn't happen, Tiki and I would be having an awkward conversation because I'd be like, Tiki, I think he's interfering.
And I'd
you'd say he's not.
Because I would know the answer, and you'd be saying, no, he is.
No, I'd be speculating.
But now you've seen it.
So it actually helped me say he's not.
Desmond Ritter was the other quarterback in that draft.
Oof. And what does that tell you?
Exactly.
So ask yourself this.
You couldn't draft anybody.
Were the Giants, was Joe Shane literally told you have to keep Daniel Jones? Or did he look around and say, let me just run it out with this guy and see what we got?
And speaking of Daniel Jones.
That's what I meant. There was no good options. There weren't good options.
That year, and go back to this last draft where we have video evidence of him trying to trade up for Jaden Daniels and Drake May and simply teams wanting to stay put. He could have taken J.J. McCarthy or Bo Nix. He didn't. He could have taken Kenny Pickett. He didn't. And you know why he didn't? Because that's exactly how a franchise ends up with Daniel Jones 2.0, taking a quarterback you don't believe.
But you think actively filming that and airing that so everybody could see it, including the quarterback, is a smart thing to do? They didn't get Daniels. They didn't get May. I think Joe Shane came off so badly on Hard Knocks. I'm sorry. It was just like a gut feel watching him. I'm like, this guy doesn't seem like he's competent.
What comes across badly to me is 2-8. That's what comes across badly. If they were 8-2, I think we'd be looking back at everything completely different. I think the Hard Knocks thing was educational. I don't think it's had any impact on the winning or losing. And I think right now, when your team sucks, when your team is terrible, and the Giants suck, like, let's just all admit it.
Right.
Want to do it together? 1, 2, 3, Giants suck.
Giants stink.
Giants suck. Giants suck. Wait, Sean won't do it.
I can't do it. That's my team.
Tiki just said Giants stink. He's a legend. He just said it.
All right. They stink. They don't suck.
Right.
Oh, suck is the problem?
Yeah.
What the hell's the difference?
It's just less.
It's a harsher version of stink.
Harsh. Yes.
Boy, you guys are sweet.
They stink on the field. They don't suck as an organization.
All right.
The Giants suck.
Thank you, Aaron, for helping us out.
Oh, God.
Yes. Anyhow, we'll get to your calls. Joe Shane's going to meet the media coming up in 40 minutes. You will get to hear it live here on WFAN. So you'll hear everything he has to say, and then we'll find out if it makes you feel better or not. Plus, Jet fans, you should feel even more miserable than you thought. Keep it right here all day on The Fan. Coming up in a half hour, Joe Shane finally talks to the media. So we will listen to his mid-season after bye week press conference. Coming up at 3 o'clock, you'll hear it right here on WFAN. The Jets are a mess. We'll get to them later. The latest on Juan Soto. So a lot to do on a very, very busy Tuesday. Toll-free number is 888-808-1019. I think we've all settled that this is it for Daniel Jones. I was having fun with numbers earlier today. I took Daniel Jones' 69 starts that he made for the New York Giants, and I looked at the numbers. I just wrote it down. Okay. And I said, okay, 70 touchdowns, 47 interceptions. A record of 24-44. And I thought to myself, he had so much time to prove himself. You know, it seemed like he had so much more time than other young quarterbacks that you're trying to kind of determine an answer on. So I took the last two young quarterbacks the New York Jets were trying to determine an answer on, Sam Darnold and Zach Wilson. And I took their two stints with the Jets and I combined them. And you ready for what I saw? I think it's interesting.
Tell us.
71 starts from Zach Wilson and Sam Darnold, 69 for Daniel Jones. So they only got two more starts combined than Daniel Jones. The win-loss record, Daniel Jones, 24-44. Darnold and Wilson, 25-46. basically the exact same record.
That's crazy.
Now, the touchdown interception numbers are very different. Daniel was more successfully through 70 touchdowns, the combination through 68, so almost a wash, but close. The interceptions were way off. Daniel only threw 47, those two knuckleheads threw 64.
Wow.
But the rest of it, win-loss, opportunity, basically, Jet fans, let me put this in perspective because we got all sorts of fans listening, voyeuristically hearing Giant fans cry. The Daniel Jones era is basically Zach Wilson plus the Sam Darnold era.
Yeah.
It's two different bad quarterback eras, and that's what Giant fans have sat through with Daniel Jones.
Yeah, but it's not as if you had an injection of potential hope in the middle.
Right.
That's the difference.
Which we have.
No, actually, that's a lie, because Daniel Jones actually played well. And you know, there were moments, especially his first year or so. And then he started getting coaching changes and coordinator changes. And
it sounds familiar to Sam Darnold and Zach Wilson.
No, I know, but it was two guys. And then Dave's first year, he was actually really good.
I agree with you. I think the rejuvenation of hope that you know Jet fans got by drafting a quarterback was when Daniel Jones had his playoff season of 2022.
Exactly right.
That was the rejuvenation because they won games, they made the playoffs, he had the lowest interception percentage. So that was your moment of hope. But basically, that's how long this era has been. It's been two different eras that the Jets sat through. We'll get to your calls now, 888-808-1019. Let's go to Sonny in Malvern. How you been, Sonny?
Hey, guys. Been really well. How you guys doing?
Good, man. What's up?
Good. Thanks for taking the call. Listen, the most, as you guys know, the most important position in all the sports is the quarterback. And over the last 11 years, I think we can all agree that the biggest complaint over the fans has been the quarterback play. Going back to the last 5 years of Eli Manning, which I don't blame Eli for his last 5 years, actually. I think they didn't put enough money into the offense. They put $200 million into the defense the year they went to the playoffs against Green Bay, and that game was blown by Beckham with the off week going to the bowl thing. But going back to Daniel Jones, the 1 year that he played well, he went to the playoffs. So that goes to show you, you're just one quarterback away, guys, turning this franchise around. Now, Houston did it last year. Washington did it this year. So, Giants fans, please have faith. Hang in there. Daniel Jones' era is over, thank God. We give him 6 years, but have faith that we're just one quarterback away from changing this organization. I think we have the right GM. I think we have the right coach. It's just a matter of getting that right quarterback. That's all it takes. And, Kiki, you know that.
Yeah. No, it is. I mean, because but so much of it also depends, and I believe that this is the right situation. We were talking about this before our show. When you draft a quarterback, the room has to be right. We're talking this because of what's happening in Chicago right now, where the Bears, Matt Eberflus, fired their offensive coordinator, Shane Waldron, and Caleb Williams internally. Like, the players on his team are saying, bench him for Tyson Bagent, who is a second-year player from Shepherd University. They want to bench him for a kid who, I guess, had a little bit of success a year ago, but it was a bad situation. They had a bad QB coach. They had a bad offensive coordinator, and you had to bring a young rookie quarterback in and expect him to just figure it out. It doesn't work that way. You got to have the right infrastructure around him, like what's happening in Washington with Jaden Daniels. He's got a good head coach, obviously, and Dan Quinn, who's had success in this league, and Cliff Kingsbury, whether he was a good head coach or not, is good with tutoring and mentoring young quarterbacks, as we saw with Kyler Murray in Arizona. So we know this.
If you have a bad situation, bad coaches, you can ruin a young quarterback.
Yes.
The Jets do it all the time. But I do have to laugh a little bit at something Sonny said. It's very naive. He said, hey, all we got to do is find a quarterback. That's it.
That's the hard thing.
It's really hard.
It's almost impossible.
There are franchises I root for. One, the Bears are a great example. Uh-huh. They're trying to figure it out. They've gone generations without finding a quarterback.
Yeah.
So when you minimize it to, hey, all we got to do is just do what Houston did. All we got to do is do what Washington did. Do you know how long it takes sometimes to find that guy?
It is. I mean, it's hard, but sometimes you got to get lucky.
Of course.
Like we're watching right now, Lamar Jackson. The Ravens got lucky as hell with Lamar Jackson. Nobody wanted to draft the kid because they thought he wasn't good enough. Meanwhile, two MVPs later and a couple of long postseason runs, even though they're stuck on the Chiefs, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. He was drafted at 32.
They got lucky that he was still there, but they also had that what you talked about, coaching staff, to develop him, nurture him, and get the most out of him.
And a veteran there.
Yes.
Who knew his time was over, Joe Flacco, but at least he was there to show him how to be a professional.
Let's go to Gio in Howell, New Jersey. How you doing, Gio?
I'm good, man. But Tiki brings up bad memories because I thought the Giants were going to take Lamar in the second round that year.
Right.
It would have been spectacular.
I did, too.
Saquon and Odell was unbelievable.
I did, too. Ozzie Newsome, damn it, walking out the door. Right, do you guys a favor.
Stuck right back in. And you know what? The Giants are the one team that never sneaked back into the first round, so I'm not surprised. But to my point with Daniel Jones, I mean, year six or seven by now, personally, I mean, I heard you guys talking for, you know, about the last half hour about, you know, how the owner's not involved. I think he is involved because, I mean, Eli wasn't his dad drafted Eli. He was around for that one.
Right.
This is John Mara's first quarterback. So I personally think he's got a thing where it's like, hey, this is my guy. I want to see my guy succeed. And he's not. And he's kind of forcing it down now.
You know why I don't believe you? I get your theory, but I'll tell you why. Because I'm an evidence guy. I just want to follow the evidence. Tiki knows because he knows these guys. Mm-hmm. I don't know anybody. I'm just following the evidence, even if we come to the same conclusion. I don't believe that good general manager prospects and good coaching prospects like Brian Daboll and Joe Shane coming out of Buffalo are taking a job in which the owner is telling them, you are keeping this quarterback because this is my toy. I think if that conversation happened, they say, no gracias.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think. Like, we just saw this with Ben Johnson a year ago. Ben Johnson was like, I'm not just taking any job. I'm going to take the right job.
Yep. He probably should have taken the Washington job.
Maybe. Look, he made the determination that that wasn't the right place. Probably wrong.
And by the way, you can't fault them either because it looks like the Detroit Lions are one of the favorites to get to the Super Bowl.
So he's going to get another opportunity.
Exactly. He's not even going to get an opportunity. He's going to get a chance to win a Super Bowl.
That too. Yeah. Right? So that's pretty cool.
That's even more, I think, relevant.
I just don't see the evidence that when they hired Shane and Daboll, they were told, all right, you get this job, but I'm sorry, I've already told you what you're doing at quarterback. We laid out the scenario that year.
It just wasn't good.
There were no good options.
There were no good options. There was nobody good in free agency that year. I think it was Jameis Winston was maybe the biggest name there. And he was 30 years old. Marcus Mariota was in that conversation as well. And then the draft was bad. We went through it already.
Right.
And so after 2022, what were you doing?
And honestly,
you couldn't, because in 2023, the draft in 2023, it was top heavy, right? It was CJ Stroud or Bryce Young, and then CJ Stroud. Then the Texans jumped back into three to take Will Anderson.
Oh, Will Anderson, then Anthony Richardson.
And then Anthony Richardson went at four. But, I mean, you know how hard it would have been for the Giants to go from, where did we draft that year? 19?
No, they were 22 and traded up to 21 for Tayvon.
So 22 to get to number three?
Here's what.
Are you kidding me? It's not happening.
What ended up happening, and now we have, you know, what's it called when you can look back and it's easy to see? Hindsight.
Yes.
Hindsight tells us that the success of 2022 was the worst thing that could happen to the Giants.
Right. From a quarterback perspective. It was actually great for, I think, culture and Dave's and earn your spot type of mantra.
Where's it led?
I mean, it's led to certain things that have actually, I think, benefited the team, right? So, because think about Tyrone Tracy, who I'm just looking at the successes. Micah McFadden, some of these other players who have actually risen to the moment and played really well because they earned it. Tyrone Tracy wasn't supposed to be their starting
running
back.
But what does that have to do with the success they had in 22?
Because that's the culture that you have to earn it. Right, just because you're the starter,
right,
doesn't mean that you're guaranteed the job. Like I think Dave's talked about it after the game on Sunday, or maybe it was Monday, why Evan Neal finally got a chance to play, and he actually played pretty well.
Yeah, so shockingly,
it's because he earned it. Like he earned it again,
right,
as opposed to just being handed the job, which is I think it's a death knell for young players when you just give them the job without having to fight for it.
No, I completely agree with that. What I'm having a tough time understanding is where the success of 2022
because that was established
that.
In 2022.
Oh, so you're saying that has continued in these years later?
Absolutely.
Fair enough. It's just to me, you see,
but it's not leading to winning. So what does it even?
No, that's why it's tough for me to see it. And look, with Daniel Jones, and I got this vibe from Joe Shane when he first took the job, and I think we all did. The vibe was, all right, we have no better alternative. Let Daniel play out the contract. They didn't pick up his fifth-year option. Remember, they decided not to do that, and their expectation was we're probably going to go 5-12. He'll be gone at the end of the year. We'll draft high. Year two, let's go. And because they won the 9 games, made the playoffs, and Jones played well, they pick way too deep to get that top-heavy quarterback, and now they're stuck bringing Daniel Jones back.
Yeah.
So I think that's where you can look back and say, boy, the success of that year has actually turned out to be kind of a bad thing.
Well, and so forget the on-field, the players, and everything else. I think why that happened is because they went into – 2022, their first year, and they were in cap purgatory. Like they couldn't do anything,
right?
Because of all the bad contracts that Gettleman had brought, and people wanted to laud Gettleman for some of the draft picks that he brought in, Saquon and Dex and all these other guys, Andrew Thomas, but they were in cap hell. And so they were desperate to get out of cap hell. So the last thing you can do when you're in cap hell after the 2022 season is franchise your quarterback, because that number is high.
I know. I still would have done it, though.
I agree. In retrospect, that's what they should have done.
Yeah.
They should have franchised Daniel Jones after 2022 into the 2023 season. Again, another prove it year, but whatever. We don't own we're not your mama. We didn't draft you, right? So we'll franchise you. If you do it again, we'll have another discussion. Likely franchise you again until we get to the point where we can draft a quarterback that we want. But in order to get out of cap hell, you signed Daniel to this basically 2-year contract just so you get some cap relief and you could build a team. They didn't have a good roster. In 2022, they won, and they did not have a good roster. So there's like a desperation to get freedom, cap freedom, so you can build the right kind of team, and signing Daniel Jones was an avenue to do that.
The problem with doing that, and I get all that, is you've committed yourself to another year of a quarterback.
Another 2 years.
Another 2 years of a quarterback that you weren't that sure of to begin with.
Exactly right.
So while, yes, it would have hurt them in the short term to tag him, you also would have had the ability, if your initial reaction was right, that he wasn't the answer, to move on. Because once you gave him that contract, yes, it wasn't a 4-year deal. It was a 2-year deal. And we're living in year two. And now all Giant fans want in the middle of November with their team stinking at 2-8 is the blood. Is they want him benched.
Yeah.
They don't want to see him anymore.
Actually, you know what? Tagging him wouldn't have even been the right thing to do. They should have just let him go to free agency.
And dared him and said, all right, go. Let's see how well you do.
Go to
and
free
agency. And I don't know
agency.
How well he would have done.
Because remember what happened. They signed his backup, and who was a potential starter, in Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah.
So Tyrod Taylor comes in 2023, right? It became... Or is he 2022?
He was already on the team.
He came in 22. So you had Tyrod Taylor there already.
Right.
Go test free agency, Daniel Jones. Good luck. If it doesn't work out, maybe we get the right number, you come back.
Yeah, come crawling back, Daniel.
Don't forget franchising him. That wasn't the right thing to do. Just let him go to free agency.
Go to free agency, yeah.
Even though it's hard to do that after he leads you to a 9-7-1 season.
That's why the success.
And a playoff win.
That's why the success turned
out
to be.
It's hard to just let a guy leave after that.
That's why success turned out to be the worst thing possible.
Yeah.
Because of all of that. Chris in Tinton Falls. How are you, Chris?
Doing well, guys. So, first thing, Evan, you alluded to something. The idea that Mara's meddling with Daniel Jones, it's not there. It's obvious. The first thing, it's the point you brought up. He would have mandated they picked up the fifth-year option.
Right.
Right? He would have mandated that. They didn't do that. So, the other thing is finding a quarterback, yeah, that's simple, not easy.
Yeah.
There's a distinction there. It's a simple fix. It's not an easy fix. Similarly, here's my bigger problem, guys, and I don't have a lot of faith in this regime, and I've been open about that. And there's a host of reasons, because I feel they do everything very conventional, yet they're deemed innovative. You guys have alluded to it. You would have been very innovative if they were like, you know what, we're going to pick up the fifth-year option. I always believe in the fifth year, unless the guy's not playing, because you're already in for a penny, in for a pound. You might as well spend the one more year to be certain. In an Evan Neal case, when a guy's not playing, all right, it makes sense, but that's philosophical. I think a lot of teams get burned, like Baker Mayfield. They didn't pick up. He goes on. He's proven to be a pretty good player.
Right.
That being said, similarly, they would have been very clever if they franchised Jones that year and then signed Barkley because he was your best player. But that's not what we do because we don't pay for value.
Right. But I don't pay for position. But Chris,
well,
you're
hang
right.
Because there's one other thing
but
here.
But Chris, I'll let you hang for a second. But I don't think they could have franchise Daniel Jones and sign Saquon Barkley. It was possible. It was a cap thing. It was prohibitive.
Remember what the cap number would be for a Saquon tag? Not nearly as high as a DJ tag. The DJ tag was going to be over $35 million.
I think it would have been 40.
Probably.
No, I get it. But as Tiki, you always say it's fungible. But that being said, it's fine.
No. Hold on, Chris. It's fungible when you do a deal. A tag is not fungible. A tag is flat money.
No, I don't mean
smacks,
him.
Smacks right on the face of the franchise.
No, that
cap.
I recognize. I mean, other contracts might have been able to move.
Yeah, but they didn't. I mean,
others. Yes.
Yeah, I hear you. But think about who was the D tackle?
Well, they Leonard Williams.
So like Leonard Williams.
My greater point.
Like they could have restructured Leonard Williams, but if you restructure Leonard Williams, now you're adding more years onto the deal, which you don't really want to do. In fact, they end up trading him the next year. So,
like, and it was
they just needed that to play out. They needed his deal to play out.
Look, I think ultimately what you want to do when you're not sure about a quarterback is you want to kick the can down the road.
Yeah.
And that's where I think looking back on it, that's the mistake that they made. Instead of marrying a guy for 2 years, you wanted to find a way, as difficult as it was going to be cap-wise,
engage him.
To continue to make it a one-year thing.
Make this a five-year engagement.
Yeah, who wants a five-year engagement?
Right. Are we getting married? Well, I'm not really ready yet.
Right.
But he could have mistakenly made it a four-year deal. I don't think Shane, I know it's not turned out well. Maybe I'm waving the pom-poms. I don't think he deserves enough credit for how this deal worked out.
Oh, come on.
Dude,
deserve enough credit.
You can move on after 2 years.
Yes.
Right.
Now, credit's the wrong word, but after that year, the playoff year, and knowing the fungible stuff at the cap, they could have kicked and dispersed a lot of money down the road and made this a true 4 year deal.
Yeah, but Sean, you're basically saying is it could have been worse.
Yes, it could have been worse.
Yes. They could have given him a worse contract.
Think about it. I think everything hindsight 2020, I think we forget just how bad and how deep the depths of hell cap-wise this team got put in with Dave Gettleman.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing a lot of what you're asking...
It's conveniently forgotten.
It's conveniently forgotten. What you guys are asking, whether it was franchise tag or like one-year deal test free, like, yes, all that sounds good and plenty. But if they would have slapped that franchise tag on, yes, they would have ripped the Band-Aid off after 1 year and the team would be in a better spot today. But ultimately, that would not have allowed Joe Shane to truly begin the process of building the roster the way he wanted to build the roster.
And how has that worked out so far?
I think the roster is not as bad as everybody thinks.
They're 2-8?
They just lost to the Panthers.
Dude.
So with that roster.
Dude, results are results, bro. Like, when I was saying yesterday...
Do they look like they don't belong in the field with these teams?
Sean, when I was talking yesterday about Joe Douglas, ultimately it came down to his record.
By the way, that's a great point, what you're trying to say.
What's he trying to say?
Do they look like they don't belong on the field?
Does it look like they've lost six games by one score? Does it look like if they had it in for quarterback, would we be crying and bitching and moaning about all the talent on this team?
Is that the bar, though?
No, but it's hard to win in the NFL. Most teams are very close. Joe Flacco is the starting quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. I had their game this weekend.
Right.
And he's a turnover machine, but in at least these last couple of weeks. But most of these games, save for last week against the Bills, who took advantage of him, are one-score games, right? It's hard to, like, run away from a team in the NFL. You got to be really bad to get run away from. And most teams don't. And so when it gets down to a one-score type of game, it comes down to a couple of things. One, is your quarterback going to be, I'm winning this game no matter what? Is he Lamar Jackson, Pat Mahomes, Josh Allen, go back a generation? Is he John Elway? Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, right? Or is he that guy? Ben Roethlisberger is one of these guys. Is your quarterback that guy? Because if you have a not good enough team, but you have one of those quarterbacks, you're going to win more games than you're going to lose. The Giants don't have that
now. No doubt.
And so, and the other thing it comes down to is coaching, right? Coaching manufactures victories out of thin air sometimes.
And I thought Dable did that in year one.
He absolutely did it in year one.
But hasn't the last 2 years.
And he has not done it this year.
That's why I get it. They're not getting blown off the field. They're 8-20 in their last 28 games. At some point, like I said yesterday about Joe Douglas, we could talk about all the great picks one guy made. It's about your record.
Yeah.
Your record is your record. They're 8-20. So, yes, if you're saving graces, well, they didn't get blown off the field by the Carolina Panthers. Okay, they're 2-8.
I'm just saying we spent a long time hammering Daniel Jones, and the organization told you they're done with Daniel Jones, and everybody pivoted elsewhere. They're playing games with one hand tied behind their back and still competing.
Well, until they're done with Daniel Jones, they're not done with Daniel Jones. And in 10 minutes, Joe Shane's going to meet the media. Maybe he'll tell us what we are already expecting, which is they're done with Daniel Jones. But Daniel Jones has started every game so far this season, so until they're done with Daniel Jones, they're not done with Daniel Jones. If you understand what I mean, if you smell what I'm cooking. Joe Shane will be speaking in 10 minutes. We'll hear all of it right here on The Fan. We'll get your reaction, and we'll talk to you throughout at 888-808-1019. A lot of other stuff to get to, including the latest on the pursuit of Juan Soto, and what Jeff Ulbrich is doing is killing the New York Jets. We'll explain what it is. Evan and Tiki here on The Fan.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.